Got it. All right, here we go. Thank you, Aaron.
Look, you mentioned snow in the mountains.
I did.
Oh, okay. Wow. How about that?
Yeah. All right. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well. 98973. I felt I exposed too much about myself, and I'm looking for comfort of others that have done the same sort of thing. So if you've ever dug a hole in the backyard and buried meat back there or food like a tuna fish sandwich or something, please
let me know. Yourself.
Let me know I'm not alone. Sometimes I know when I've said too much, I look over at Jacob and he has his hand, like, he has his head in his hand and he's just sort of slowly rocking it back and forth like, no, no, stop. Even as weird as Sean is, even he left me.
I left you.
Yeah.
How so?
I felt you physically and emotionally left me in that last segment.
During that story?
Yeah, I tried to make eye contact with me and you're looking down at your fingernails. All right, let's go to it.
I got wonky eyes.
It's one way or the other way. Idaho medical crisis becomes a problem in Washington. So to put this in perspective, because I don't know if it was in the article, it was in this. Let's see where we have a sound on this. But you should understand that Idaho is ranked one of the worst.
Yeah.
As one of the states with the worst healthcare system, largely because residents have difficulty getting medical care, then in most states, they have the fewest number of doctors, dentists, mental health providers per capita, and is a major city. They started to have a nursing crisis a while ago, and they still have one. They have the lowest per capita of nurse per 100,000 or 10,000, I think, in the United States, one of the worst. So you don't have enough people to work, and then when you get people that are not vaccinated, then you end up having increased numbers. So now what's happening is that some of these patients are coming over to Washington, and here we go.
We are keeping our head above water, but barely.
At Virginia Mason, doctors and nurses are struggling to care for very sick COVID patients in a hospital that's already full.
We're stretched. And so do we get transfers from Idaho? Yeah, we do. Are we helping? Yes. But is our capacity?
These are the greatest guys that interview themselves. They ask themselves their own questions and answer them. It's the best. You don't have to do anything.
To care for very sick COVID patients in a hospital that's already full.
We're stretched. And so do we get transfers from Idaho? Yeah, we do. Are we helping? Yes. But is our capacity limited? Yes.
Washington has a deal between hospitals to work together to shift patients around. They don't have the same agreement with hospitals out of state, but they feel called to do what they can. In northern Idaho, it's so bad they declared crisis standards of care. They'll need to decide which patients get life-saving care and which don't. They say hospital capacity is less about space and more about staffing. FEMA sent in military doctors and nurses to help. At this point, it doesn't appear Washington will be getting reinforcements.
We do not think that we will have much relief from coming from the National Guard. We have made inquiries about that with the state, and they really feel like those resources are deployed elsewhere and will not be available to us.
The Washington State Nurses Association and union says the staffing shortage started long before COVID.
Now, a lot of hospitals are hiring like travel nurse, which costs a lot. Why not pay the people that you already have?
By the way, put in perspective, traveling nurse, Tom, can make $147 an hour.
Governor Jay Inslee expressed his frustration with Idaho leaders.
We certainly need our friends in Idaho government to do more to preserve their citizens' health, because we know that their medical crisis is becoming our problem.
That's the ethical dilemma we're in Washington State, is that Idaho, because of its politics, you didn't mention the politics of it at all. Mm-hmm. The politics are such that the governor refuses to do any kind of mask mandate. They have the lowest, they're ranked the worst in terms of a number of people who've had at least one, their first dose and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if we then have to care for their patients when we already are stretched in this state, it really is an ethical dilemma, because you don't want to turn away anybody who is really hurting if you have the capacity,
mm-hmm.
until and unless it impacts the capacity we have for our own citizens. And that naturally, I think, should come first. Then the question is, should you somehow penalize, maybe just financially, for every Idaho patient that has to be treated in Washington State, you know, would there be at least some kind of financial compensation from the state legislature of Idaho or the governor or something to pay for that? Because it really is sort of infuriating. Washington has one of the best vaccination rates, uh-huh. and Idaho has one of the worst. Why are we suffering from their negligence?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you like federal dollars, these are federal dollars. So you could also talk about, you know, other states that provide federal dollars, and then Washington eats up some of those. So everybody throws in, and you get a chance to be able to dine off the federal dollar. The federal dollar is the same as any other dollar, but people try to make the distinction between the two. So Washington State, I'm sure, is going to be using federal dollars, which is all state dollars thrown into the pot and then blasted out to various states. I was trying to find out the COVID cases in Idaho as it is right now. So total amount of people that have died in Idaho, 2,487. People that have passed in Idaho. Again, the numbers are so screwy because they deliberately, I believe, do not show you the real numbers. It's all about panic. And here's an example of it. So this is the new Hanover Regional Medical Center leaders talking about how to communicate the COVID situation. This is in North Carolina.
As far as how we get information out to the community.
Remember, this is to get information to the community. Here's the information, 100, 200, 300, 400. This is the information. You then decide what you want to do with the information. But no, it's not just about the information.
On meaningful numbers, we do that on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths. And
this is captured from a Zoom call that people were not supposed to hear and see.
The numbers.
I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public.
Be a little bit more completely scary for the public.
Then there's another comment that I completely agree. There are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
Right. So you have a bunch of people came in, had various conditions. They were tested positive for COVID, although they didn't come in because of COVID, but they count as a COVID number. So then when they move them off of that number because they have then recovered from COVID. But this woman, whoever this woman is, who's in charge of something, I assume, who's wants to see the numbers stay scary. So how can you keep the numbers high? So if the person's gotten over COVID, is there some way we can keep that number in there so that we can continue to scare the crap out of people?
Yeah. So is that all the people who have been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID?
Well, or that are still in it. And that's something that I can take to someone else. But I think those are important numbers. The patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but still are occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
Carolyn, we call those, I'm sorry, we're calling those recovered now. If you look at the Novant Health dashboard, they're listed as recovered. But I do think from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still
Truman Capote, by the way.
Guilty.
Right. So I'm just going to say, Carolyn, I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. You know, you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. I mean, let's just be really blunt to these people.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's treat them like children. And rather than give them the information, just let them have the information. Let's spin it. Let's contextualize it in such a way that we can get them behave a particular way. This is why people are holding back. I'm not saying good idea. I'm just saying they're tired of not being given just the straight facts, and they feel as if they're being manipulated in a particular type of behavior. And here's a perfect example of it. I don't know who the woman was who was trying to come up with the scary stuff, but I believe the same thing happens here in the state of Washington.
Okay, so first off, so the right's trying to make this a big scandal. I actually think they have a good point. If the problem is that we have too many people in the hospitals so that people would need back surgery or heart surgery can't get in because there's so many COVID patients, to not include the number of people still in the hospital because of COVID that have now are recovering but still need hospital care because of that recovery, to put that number together is not a misrepresentation. So that's the first thing. So I don't see that as a scandal at all.
Yeah.
Now, the second thing is, right now, this particular hospital has the highest level of COVID-19 hospitalizations ever, and deaths as well. And because of that, they're trying to figure out how do you get across to people that the consequences are serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit like showing in the tobacco campaign, showing what happens to your voice box or your lungs when you, come down with lung cancer because of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to kind of shock the system. I don't think it misrepresents the system. In fact, you could argue that the dashboard, just having numbers that just don't have any real, humanity to them, are misrepresenting the truth more than these kinds of presentations. Say, listen, everybody who gets vaccinated, who's unvaccinated and gets COVID in the hospital, they wish they had gotten vaccinated because if their loved one is about to pass away, they're going to regret that. That's what they're trying to do.
Joe Citizen doesn't go to the dashboard to be manipulated in some way.
They're not being manipulated.
Yes. Because no. I wrote to the state, Tom, and I said very simply, somebody comes in with a broken leg, it's severe. They're going to spend the night. You then take a test. How many cycles on the PCR test is it? The person does not present as a COVID patient, but they have some virus, so they might have it or they might be active. Does that person considered a COVID patient? Does that go into your number? The state of Washington basically gives me the runaround, and then finally they send me this great big long pile of crap that they've cut and pasted. Does this help? No. I write back again. We don't answer hypothetical questions. I write back again. Get nothing. A week later, I'm still waiting. Still waiting. I just want to know where the numbers come from. This is an example, and there's a story from The Atlantic, and Dave Ross talks about it, that they inflate the number, they keep the number high in order to scare people. This is part of the manipulation. Same thing the CDC did. They had the numbers on kids, and the thing was 3 months old, and they released this thing, and then the media picks up and talks about surges. Like the beginning of that piece from the guy from Swedish, we're just keeping our heads above water. Really? Yes. Really?
Right now, John, they're rationing care in Idaho.
Right.
They're
Do you know why, Tom? Because they don't have enough staff. They have a staff problem.
And they have a red state that doesn't believe in that.
Right.
They're not taking the proper precautions.
And you could look at blue states that have similar situations, Tom.
No,
but it's no.
Like we just said,
We're talking about manipulating the numbers to create behavior that you would like to see.
That's right.
The
and
state,
that's not
of course, wants to get
North
everybody.
Carolina.
Okay, of course the state wants to get everybody vaccinated, so they're going to tell you things, and they're going to withhold certain things but tell you other things, and they're going to try to scare you to get vaccinated because they've given up on everything else, and now they're going to mandate or scare you. Just give me the numbers. Just tell me what they are. Don't try to make it hard for me. By the way, state of Washington, why don't you show us how old people are, and we want to know about the comorbidity. Don't make us dig around. Just put it out there flat out. Let's see it, and let's know what the deal is so that we can then make the decisions. Don't try to manipulate like they did here in North Carolina. Can we keep the number high
to
scare people?
In North Carolina.
Can we try to scare people?
Yes.
What can we do to scare people?
Because they weren't doing a good enough job of
scaring people.
The number of deaths and hospitalizations.
What can we do to scare them?
No, not scare them. A little bit more scary to let them know this is the reality.
Why?
It's a bit like why we don't show the deaths of people in the military, because we don't want to discourage people from joining the military. It's that kind of protection.
No.
In this particular
case,
they say we need to let people know these are the fates that we're dealing with because the rates are not going down.
Uh-huh.
And interestingly enough, you want the information. The mandates are such that the information isn't the key. They've actually said this needs to happen to lower the rates, because the one piece of information we have is the number of people dying and the number of hospitalizations.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular case in North Carolina, I don't know. Now, in your case with the state, I don't know. It sounds like they're getting you the runaround. I can't address
I asked Jason Rance about it. Same thing. He wrote, I've written to two or three doctors I know that work at various hospitals. I don't want to tell you what they're saying because I can't get the thing sourced other than from one person. Here's another perfect example when it comes to herd immunity. The CDC does no study on it other than the fact they've released this study, and they said they took one of the 50 states, they took Kentucky to be determined that this is their whether or not herd immunity gives you a better defense or the vaccine. Listen to Fauci. Fauci's asked last week about herd immunity. It's like it's coming up. What?
There was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that. That's something that we're going to have to discuss regarding the durability of the response.
What do we spend at the CDC? Was it $30 billion, $80 billion? They don't do a study on this?
One thing the paper from Israel didn't tell you is whether or not as high as the protection is with natural infection, what's the durability compared to the durability of a vaccine? Mm-hmm. So it is conceivable that you got infected, you're protected, but you may not be protected for an indefinite period of time. So I think that is something that we need to sit down and discuss seriously, because you very appropriately pointed out it is an issue, and there could be an argument for saying what you said.
Oh, good. There you go.
Yeah,
good.
That's Dr. Fauci. Perfectly reasonable response.
Tom, what are we, 18 months into this thing? 150 million Americans have gotten COVID. You don't think they've got immunity? Why don't they recognize immunity?
No,
why does it have to be a vaccine or not vaccine? Okay. Fauci acts like, yeah, we should look into that. Why aren't you looking into
it? Okay, well, so I do think, and there's a reference in the Wall Street Journal in this column about that Israel is doing these studies, and the United States, why isn't the CDC producing the same kinds of studies? I don't know what the CDC's response was, but I have heard in the past, they say the nice thing about Israel is it's a very small country that can do their studies, and they have all they can control all the parameters, and it might just be that the United States just has too much information to be able to do an actual individual study. But the thing is he wasn't shutting that off. He says if that's what the Israel study is, and then the next question that they don't address is the durability of that immunity.
Yeah,
I don't understand why you're trying to undercut the validity of the vaccines. That's
categories.
It sounded like you were
unvaccinated. Those have gotten COVID and gotten over it, and vaccinated. The fact that the United States doesn't recognize those that have gotten it and have their own immunity, and that Dr. Fauci, we should definitely look into that. Why aren't you looking into it? They did. And the only state they looked at was Kentucky. They ignored the rest because they liked the results of Kentucky. Let's go to traffic. Yeah, we don't have time to keep
that right. Kentucky, they only release the information
that's
from one state.
Right. Why? Why only one state? Here's traffic. Right into it. Wow, how about that? Can I get a job as a DJ, wedding DJ?
No, that was a bad prospect.
It's too bad. Muckleshoot Casino, proud to bring you Rachel Bell, the biggest and best in Northwest. That's Muckleshoot Casino. Rachel Bell, not the biggest and best in Northwest, but the way she talks about eating there at Muckleshoot Casino could just be a matter of time until they'd be like, is that Rachel? No, that's the casino. But
like Homer Simpson. They don't let me into the buffet all the time because I eat too much, and then I do become the biggest, but I'm still not the best because I eat all the food and nobody else gets any.
That's how it's happening to you right now. Is our bell? Is her volume sounds low?
Really low.
Do we want it to be? Do we want it to be even lower?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear
me?
Can you hear me?
Is that any better?
Sounds like it's being being a Sondheim song for Tom. all right. So our bell, as we adjust your volume, apparently yesterday we talked about woolly mammoths. This seems to be a theme that you've got going on now. This is knights or dinosaurs are the new thing if you would like to do what?
Sell a house. Ooh, now it's so loud for me. Sorry, guys. Just love troubleshooting this on the air. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, this is so interesting because all you keep hearing about, at least the real estate market where we live, is that everything is going fast. They don't really need any tricks to sell a house. You can hardly buy a house if you're looking. But apparently real estate agents are competing against each other to try to get jobs because in this country there are more real estate agents. There are house for sale. So they're trying to convince people, like, work with me. And so they're doing quirky things. And so they give an example. In Seattle, there's a 35-year-old guy who is a Renaissance reenactor. His name is Michael Bergstrom. And he got a call from a local real estate agent asking if he would pose in full armor in the listing photos for this house that looks like a castle that seems to be over in the Spokane area. Uh-huh. It's called Chatteroy, Washington. And so he paid this guy to drive 5 hours each way to pose in the pictures. It's not a costume. It's real armor, and it was during 100-degree weather.
Did he make him drive in the night costume? Did he have to have it all on while in the car?
Well, he actually had to ride a horse over. Okay. So it took a lot longer than the five hours. God. It took about 10 each way.
Yes, got it.
Exactly. And so they took all these really funny pictures. I mean, it's actually quite clever. They have him posing around the house. So they have him like using a big sword to chop oranges in the kitchen. And then they have him in the bathroom putting armor all on his armpits. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, in the kitchen, they like covered up labels so it looked like powdered dragon scales and all these things. And apparently this house was on the market for 300 days and it was not moving at all. Again, it looks like a castle. And then after this listing went up, suddenly they had multiple offers and they sold the house for $600,000. So this seems to be what they're doing now. There's another story of a woman who had her 9-year-old daughter dress up in an alien costume and take pictures around the house. Same thing. It kind of got picked up by the local news and it was on all these Halloween pages on Facebook. And so it sold right away. If you want to know what a hot deal is in Ohio, they were like, and it sold for $215,000.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and it's like a giant mansion. So this is apparently the trend. And then there's a guy named Robert Gomez. He founded Jurassic Realty in Texas, and he made his family dress up in dinosaur costumes and also come to the open house for 3 hours. I don't know why he hates his family so much, but same thing. The house sold very quickly.
So it's, even though as Tom brought up that it's a hot market, they're still doing this. It would seem you would need to have somebody dressed up as a knight.
I guess if you want the place to sell fast, especially probably out of this area, I don't think the whole country is a hot housing market, but like even in Washington, you know, they needed it to sell that one house. And I think, yeah, it's all about gimmicks. And, you know, when people, when you're trying to get a real estate agent, who do you pick? And it's funny, like, there's not that many professions where you actually see the face of the person on the card. And so I always wonder, like, how many people pick the agent based on what they look like. But I guess this is a way to pick your agent if they will hire someone in shining armor to pose in the pictures of your house.
Yeah, I guess it would be, it's the real estate agents we should talk to, because apparently they are in competition with each other about who gets the clients.
Yeah.
And would a dinosaur or an alien or a knight in shining armor actually benefit one's business or not? Or might it look like you're kind of frivolous and a little too lighthearted for the serious business of selling or buying a home?
Well, they said they want people with a sense of humor buy the house, Tom. So.
All right, then.
Hey, what would you guys think about if Vladimir Putin was in a picture of a house you wanted to buy?
I'd say someone in Sweden needs to buckle things down a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. In Sweden, there are these parents who tried to name their baby Vladimir Putin as the first name. I don't know what their last name is, but basically it would be, you know, Vladimir Putin and then Smith with like 16 umlauts on it. So in Sweden, you have to report the name of your newborn to the Swedish tax agency, and the agency denied their request. They said, no, you cannot name him that. The rules are that the name can't be offensive, it can't risk causing problems for the kid later in life, and they can't clearly resemble surnames. Don't know why the latter. Other names that they have rejected over the years are Ford, Alla, Pilsner, and the letter Q.
This has been around since 1992. It became known as the naming law. It was enacted so non-noble families won't give names of noble families to their children.
Really?
Names not allowed are Superman, Metallica, IKEA, or Elvis are just some of the names they've rejected recently. Yeah, so you don't give so non-noble families won't give names of noble children.
It's very caste system. I looked up to see if we have any laws in the U.S., and it says we don't really have very many. You can kind of do whatever you want, and it's state by state, so some states ban the use of pictograms, so I guess you can't name your kid like Prince named himself. And then they can limit the number of characters because it has to do with something with the software that they use for record keeping. But it says in Kentucky, you can name your kid whatever. There are no laws at all. Some states ban obscenity, but there was this judge in Tennessee in 2013 who tried to ban a couple from naming their son Messiah. Mm-hmm. He said, "You must change it to Martin. It's a title that has only been earned by one person, and that's Jesus Christ." And not only did they overturn this decision because it's illegal to do that, but he was fired. You can't be a judge and tell people they can't name their kid Messiah.
I wonder if you could name somebody Donald Trump, or if it's just somebody famous. So Vladimir Putin or Boris Johnson or whomever is rejected. Do they explain why Vladimir Putin was rejected, and would they reject all noble leaders?
It said in the law that it can't sound like a surname, so maybe if they just named him Vladimir, that'd be okay, but I guess you can't stick the last name in there.
Wow.
Okay.
By the way, also, don't try to name a kid in New Zealand. They have the same sort of laws there in New Zealand. And keep that in mind there. Is it Rachel or Rachel?
Actually, it's Vladimir.
Let's turn up your volume. There we go.
Thanks, Arbel. Appreciate it. No, we can hear you fine.
Okay, good.
You're good. Loud and clear. Thanks, Arbel. Now we're going to be with Tracy Taylor. Okay. Righty. Writing to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. You ever have that show, Tom? You just at the end of the show, you think I've revealed too much?
Never happens in my case. Mm. Always happens in your case, John. Well, and that's why people love you.
No, they don't love me, Tom, necessarily. By the way, second time in a month and a half that the UPS man has seen me nude. There's another one more bit of news right there.
Were you burying food at the time? Or
no. Jacob, come on. You think I'm out there digging a hole, burying food nude? Please.
Not if there aren't cameras.
Please. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, he came around the corner and I was just sitting there reading.
As one is wont to do.
I got
reading in the nude.
Can I just say the beauty of it? Can I just say something? I see why people are into nudist in colony or whatever.
Wow.
I understand it now. I went out to do a story at that place in Issaquah. No, but I'm just telling you. I went to that place in Issaquah a long time ago to this nudist colony. And I said to the lady, I'm kind of pale. But I put on this tan last night, but it doesn't look really good. She goes, we don't judge. So I went around the back, took off my clothes, came around the corner. She goes, wow, you look like a cheetah or like a like a tiger or something. I was like, I thought we don't judge. She goes, no, I'm complimenting. I said, that's not a compliment that the suntan I'd put on, it got all runny and stuff. And then I was self-conscious. But I'm telling you. You live out in nowhere. Like you wake up nude. You're just nude, and you realize, hey, just can be nude all the time, and you don't even put clothes on.
Why does that feel good to you? Why is
the temperature
preferable?
Outside is perfect, and you just got to look out for the dogs when they come sniffing around. But then just I don't know. And then also I don't do the wash enough because my bucket got all rusty, so now it's rusted up my clothes, and I can't get the bucket clean the way I used to. What music was that, Sean?
I forget the name of it, but it's from the soundtrack of Boogie Nights, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Deep into the cuts. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Again, if the guy from UPS is listening, I'm sorry. But it's now he doesn't seem upset.
It's the highlight of his day, I'm sure.
Does he make eye contact?
I don't do the thing like people that are really into being nude or people that are really well endowed. I don't do the whole thing you stand with your hands on your hips. I'm not doing that. I stay seated and, I see I'm gracious.
You uncross your legs.
Do a little Sharon Stone there.
Yeah. All righty. Where are we? Okay, playing tennis can make people miserable. Oh, we're on time.